Today, we're going to continue with the series that we started at the beginning of the month. So what we do as a church is, every month we'll get a sense of what we believe God wants us to focus on. And when we do that, we will now teach a series, usually lasting for about 4 weeks or 6 weeks sometimes. So at the beginning of this month, we've been looking at a topic or a series we've called, it's a phrase, "And the thief told Jesus, please remember me." And the thief told Jesus, please remember me. So this is looking at the cross, looking at what Jesus did. And we began to focus on what the thief on the cross beside Jesus said to Jesus and some of the things that were going on with him. The Bible tells us that when Jesus was crucified, he had one thief on the left and one thief on the right. And both of them had varying opinions. But we're just going to shift a bit from that this morning. And we'll focus on the disciples. Now, I'm calling today's subtopic disappointed. Disappointed. And you might be like, hang on, Pastor Benson. This is Resurrection Sunday. How can you be talking about disappointed? We should be like joyous that Christ died for us. And we are. But I want to look at something interesting that happened to the disciples as it pertains to resurrection, and possibly something that happens to us as well, if we'll admit it. So we'll look at that from this angle, but don't worry, it has a really good ending. It has a good ending. You know, it's like one of those, I have this cousin and his wife. I'm not going to mention his name anyway. There's this, what they call it, like, is it K-pop or something? So her husband was like, oh, when I got to their house to visit them, they had this serious thing going on, like, don't worry. Let me not deviate. Anyway, those series that she watches, she's watched hundreds of it. It's like the thing is just playing. And you see, like, you know, the scene of the movie starts, it's sad. It's, you know, someone is like really upset. And I'm like, man, this is sad. She just said, don't worry, it always ends well. So, you know, just don't worry. You can always look forward to that. So don't worry, it always ends well with Jesus. So we're looking at what I've called this morning, disappointed. Now, I'm just going to take us through a number of points this morning about what happened when Jesus was arrested and when he was crucified. And I'll begin to read. I'll take my reading from, okay, background. So Jesus had been with his disciples for over 3 years, and he had been telling his disciples that, look, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be killed, I will die, but I will resurrect. And he spent time telling them all this. The first time that he mentioned it, Peter, one of his like really ardent disciples, said, Jesus, never, you will never die. You will not, we will not have that. And Jesus said, hang on. So Jesus had been teaching them about the resurrection, teaching them about why he actually came to the world. But they didn't really get the full picture of it. And because they didn't get the real full picture of it, when Jesus was crucified, they faced a certain kind of disappointment that was overwhelming. This disappointment was so overwhelming that the Bible begins to tell us in Mark chapter 14. Okay, let me just look. No, the Bible tells us in John chapter 20, verse 19, the first part. It says, on that evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, that's just the A part, for fear of the Jewish leaders. So we begin to see something here as the first point. Jesus is crucified. The Bible tells us that these guys run away. And what are they doing? They are hiding. they are hiding because it's like, man, who is going to be next here? I don't want to be next at all. I was just thinking that, and this is just like an analogy, by the way. So can you beat that as you're all sat here like this? You know, you're sitting down, you're cool. It's like, oh, glad to be in church. And I'm preaching as I'm doing now. Then suddenly we hear gunshot outside. Some men come, AK-47s. If you don't know what an AK-47 is, don't worry. It's like a gun, like a machine gun. And if you're smiling and you actually know what that AK-47 means, then I have to question you to see if you're not in that light. So we're surrounded. I mean, we hear gunshot. Like, what's happening here? Then suddenly, three men come down that road, that door. Five come through that door at the back, all masked. And they just say, hang on, church. No, they won't say church. Hang on, people. Nobody move here. We don't want any problems or any... We're not here for you. We're here for Pastor Benson. Just step aside, and you're all surprised. And they just shoot into the air. The ceiling, you know, they crack the ceiling. And they said, nobody, we don't want any problems. You don't have to get hurt. We're just here for Pastor Benson. And they're walking towards me. What would you do? Don't answer that question. I know what you guys would do. Can I tell you what you do? You surround me and say, no, you're not taking our pastor. Isn't that what you would do? You're not taking our Pastor Benson today. I'm sure that's what you would do, right? That's what you do. You know, I'm not really sure about you guys. You're not, should I be concerned? I'm just like, I thought you guys are like, you know. Well, Jesus' disciples didn't do that. They ran away. They ran away. They were confused. They were highly disappointed. Now, the Bible tells us that they were hiding, and I don't blame them. So the question that I have for them, or that I had when I was looking at this piece of text again, why were they disappointed? Why were they disappointed? So, I believe, looking at scripture, I picked out a number of things, which is one of the which is the second point. And they were disappointed because I believe that they didn't really get the full picture of what Jesus came to do. For some of them, if you look at Matthew chapter 17, 27, for some of them, Jesus was just a provider. Someone that if you had financial problems, you would pray and Jesus would sort you out. If you look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, Matthew chapter 17, verse 27, some people came to Peter and was like, man, it's time to pay your bills. And in those days, they didn't just send you red letters if you didn't pay up. They didn't send you just like those threatening letters like, pay your bill, you know. They'll start with like, what's it called? Red. No, I think it progresses white, plain letter. Then it goes to amber, then red. But you guys don't know anything about that, obviously. When it gets to red, you know that, man, this is a serious thing. In those days, they didn't do that. In those days, they came and they looked around your house and took your kids prisoner. That was what it was like in those days if you didn't pay up. I was just thinking to myself, man, the Bible days were quite interesting. Can you imagine me at home? I'm there, you know, I ran a traffic light and they sent a letter and I didn't get that. Someone's laughing already. And this guy just came in and just said, you haven't paid your bill. I'm like, yeah, I'll pay. I said, no, it's too late. And they grab my daughter and take her to prison. Oh, it's funny, right? They just grab her and take her to prison. And it's not like these fancy prisons we have now. Dark dungeon. I went to prison once on a visit. Let's get that clear. let's give it context. So, you guys are making me laugh. You're not allowing me to concentrate. So I went to this prison, Buckle Church Prison. I went to visit. Just, you know, with the chaplain, we got linked. Just to see what was happening there, you know, prison and all that. And man, when I got there, they had cells, they had TV, they had a library, recreational sports. I saw guys playing football in the open. You could actually tick what you're going to have for dinner, lunch, and all that. Exercise. Then I visited like the Christian, they have like a Christian group there. Man, these guys, full band, bass, guitarist, singing, harmonizing. I was like, is this prison? Is this prison? The only thing those guys couldn't do was to leave the compound. I'm like, is this prison? Kai. If you don't know what Kai means, it's a foreign word for wow. I'm not putting an ad out for prison, by the way, so just don't think, oh my goodness, is this, that sounds like a holiday in Dubai. No. Let's put context here. So prison wasn't like that in those days. It was hard. Dungeon. Cold, wet. So if you didn't pay your bills, you were done for. So Peter had a slight problem there. And Matthew chapter 17, 27 says, but so, when they came to him, Jesus now responded, he comes to Jesus, these guys are after me, I need money. And he says, well, Jesus replies, but so that we don't cause offense, go to the lake, throw out your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 dinar coin in it. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. Can you beat that? I think I mentioned a few weeks ago. Can you imagine if I asked and I said, man, I need to pay my bills here. I now look in the congregation, I say, can I pick anyone here? And I say, Sir Ruth, no, your husband will be like, no, you have to make lunch for him so you can't go on the errand. Pick your husband. Mr. MC, can you please go to River Avon, cast the line in there, catch a fish, and the next, you know, when you catch that fish, open the mouth and you see, give me a figure, a 5,000 pound diamond thing. Sell it and pay our bills. So these guys saw Jesus as someone who was a provider for them. They were confident that there was no situation that they would face financially. Jesus would sort it out for them. Is that a bad or good thing? It's a good thing. So, why were they disappointed? So the first thing was, Jesus was now gone. Who would provide for them financially? Or maybe it was the case that you and I, we have, you know, bills to pay and all that, and we're like, God, Pastor Benson said that do this and all that, you'll be sorted financially, but it doesn't come through in that particular instance. Do you become disappointed? Like, oh, that's just hyping us, this motivational thing. Now, the other thing I believe happened was this. Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 39. Peter's mother-in-law was terribly ill. And it says, Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. And they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. So they saw Jesus as the healer. Fantastic. Oh, man, it was like, man, what else do you want in this world? I'm sorted. Anything, Jesus is that. Now, Jesus was gone. Jesus was gone in their eyes. So I was like, who is going to heal us? No NHS or anything at that point. And those days, it was brutal. I was watching one Western American Western historical film. And you had like soldiers in the American army, in the British army going to invade America. They had like a frontier war. And there was this scene where they went to like this hospital, makeshift hospital in camp, in this war camp. And people were screaming. People were screaming. So if they got shot on the leg, it was like, oh, sorry. I mean, the doctors there were just like, they tried. Put them on the thing, oh, that leg's going to gangrene or whatever. What do? We have to saw that leg off. No, what's that thing? Is it? No anesthesia. They just put like a piece of wood in your mouth so that you don't bite your tongue. Ah. Then they saw off your leg. Sorry. So you couldn't afford to be sick in those days. If you were, sorry. So I was like, Jesus, our healer is gone. Who is going to heal? So these guys were, I mean, you can imagine what was going through their mind. They were so disappointed. Do you understand? This disappointment that they had overshadowed the big picture. The same way that sometimes, right, our disappointments overshadow the big picture of what Jesus actually came to do. You know, we're human. And the Bible says that these things were given in the Bible for our example to us, that these guys went through it as well. So, you know, sometimes you might just message someone and say, oh, happy Easter. And like the response is, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, right. What's happy about this Easter? I'm owing. I'm ill. My friend is ill. They're not healed. We prayed. Nothing is happening. This. And you and I are disappointed, like these guys. And we now go to another point here. For some of them, Jesus was a liberator. He was like he would be like a political deliverer for them. And Jesus had a disciple called Simon the Zealot. The Zealots in Jerusalem then, they were like a sect of Jews who were like a mini guerrilla army. And what they did then was that, well, at that point in time, Rome was ruling. Rome had like a massive system of government in those days. And for the Romans, when they captured the place, they enforced Roman rules. They taxed them to the bone. So people were a bit dissatisfied with the political system. And for some of them, they were like, they formed a band called the Zealots. And they would do all this guerrilla thing. They would, you know, pitch out in the woods, attack the Roman army, you know, cause mayhem and all that. So those guys were political analysts, activists. And one of them was Jesus' disciples. And Jesus told them the stories about him coming back. Coming back in the clouds. And we look at Matthew chapter 24, 30. So Jesus begins to tell them in Matthew chapter 24, 30. He says, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then all the peoples of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So Jesus was telling them about this. So for Simon the Zealot, one of his disciples was like, yeah, Jesus, yeah. And I'm sorry for the theatrics sometimes. I just get a bit excited. So I was watching this film called The Chosen. I think it's like a series. And it brought a lot of things to life. So I saw Simon the Zealot there. And they showed him practicing his moves, like doing all these flips with the knife. Like, so I'm like, my goodness, this is like proper military training. So Simon the Zealot was like, yes, Jesus the Messiah, you're going to liberate us from Rome. All this council tax that they charge and they're increasing on a monthly basis. No more council tax. No more road tax. We don't want any of this thing. And he's like carrying a placard. None of that. We want to be free. All this. And he was super excited. He was like, man, yeah. This is all I've been waiting for. Yeah, I don't want to speak American. This is it. Jesus, this is it. Tell us when. I've been trading all these days. You know, I don't like the Labour Party. Let's pray that God will take out the conservatives. Let's pray. Let's hold a prayer meeting. All these political people. In fact, we should have a Christian government. You guys in this church, let's form a party. Remove the Labour people. So some of his disciples thought Jesus was going to make a political change. So is that bad? Not really. But it's important that we note these three points. There are loads of other points. So there were people in his band, there were disciples that thought, well, Jesus will provide for me financially. They were like, you know, Jesus, all I have to do is if I'm ill and I pray, God heals me. Oh, he's going to change the political situation. Then this Jesus that they've been putting their hope on, right in front of their eyes, gets arrested, beaten, battered, dragged to the cross, hung on the cross, nailed to the cross. And I suspect that whilst all this was happening, they probably must have been thinking, Jesus, this is just like the preamble, the intro. The movie always ends well. this is just like the highlights of it. Jesus is going to just come off the cross and just say, yes. And they watched, some of them with excitement, we've seen this before. We've seen this before. Jesus is going to do something spectacular here. And right before their eyes, Jesus is dragged, he's nailed to the cross, and he dies. And he dies. And it's like, man, I need to pay my bills. I'm going to pray. Pastor Benson, agree with me that I will get that job, that money, and all that before Monday, and it doesn't happen yet. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this person is ill. Oh, we've prayed. And that person is not healed yet. The economy is, there's war. There's all these things happening, and we're praying, and it hasn't changed yet. I put there yet. So if it was you, would you have been disappointed? Would the resurrection or would the death of Christ, would it have meant that much to you? Does it mean much to you now? Does it mean much to me now? Am I disappointment so overwhelming that I can't see the big picture? Is it okay to have my disappointments? I believe it's okay. Am I saying it's wrong to have expectations? No, it's not. Jesus expects you and I to expect from him. How do I know that? When Jesus came back, he didn't tell them, guys, I'm disappointed in you guys. You could have done better. No, Jesus didn't even say any of that at all. Why? Because he understands that we have expectations. And that's okay, by the way. But Jesus wants us to go a step further. And that brings me to my third and final point. So this morning I've said, look, the first point, these guys were disappointed. The second point, we looked at a number of things that probably could have caused their disappointment. The same things that probably could cause disappointment for you and I. Do you understand? I mean, oh my goodness. So, if I stopped at point number two, which is this, the story won't follow the K-pop series good ending. But it always has a good ending. Then we see one of Jesus' disciples, Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene followed Jesus as well with the disciples. So she had disappointments as well. She had followed Jesus through. Jesus had, delivered her, prayed for her, and brought her out of a really tight situation. So she faced the same disappointments with these chaps as well. Was she affected? Yeah. Was she hiding? Yes, she was. But she didn't stop there. She didn't stop there. So Mary gets up, and John chapter 20, verse 1, it says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene, that's John 21, went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed. So the third point is this. So Mary's disappointed with everybody. Everybody's crying. Fine. Everybody's disappointed. That's okay. But she didn't just stop there. She, against all odds, against all evidence and emotions, she gets up. And she's like, look, let me go and look for Jesus. Jesus said something about rise. I don't quite understand what he said. He said he would rise on the third day. What does that mean? I have no idea. What does that mean? I mean, that doesn't make sense to me at all. But I'm going to go anyway. So the Bible says early she wakes up. And she begins to go to the tomb. I'm not quite sure what she thought she would find there. She just said, well, I'm not going to just stay in my disappointment. Let's see if, what's this Jesus spoke? Let's just examine the thing. I'm not quite sure what it is. And she begins to go there. And I'll read same John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. It's quite a long read. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in there, in white, seated before Jesus' body, where Jesus' body had been. One of them at the head and the other at the foot. They asked the woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. In all their disappointments, in all her disappointment, the Bible says she began to cry. And while she was crying, the Bible says Jesus was standing there. Jesus was standing there. I mean, he was standing there. And she didn't know. Let me read on. Then it says, Jesus was standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Jesus was talking to her. Who are you looking for? Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. At this point, Jesus just couldn't carry on the conversation in the third person. He couldn't carry, he didn't carry on the, he just drew the line. And he just said in verse 16, Mary. He called her name. He didn't say, my disciple. He didn't say, you that go to CFT Bristol Church. He didn't say, he called her name, Mary. At that point, everything now made sense. The other disciples, I mean, I don't know if it's like a man or male thing. Too much logic. She took a step. And Jesus, you know, Jesus, she didn't know it was Jesus at all. And Jesus was talking. He said, why are you here? Why are you crying? And she said, look, if you took Jesus from this place, tell me where you, can you imagine someone, I don't want to know anything. Just tell me where Jesus is. That's all I want. I don't know about the theology of, what's the thing? I don't know all the Old Testament scriptures of the prophecies of Jesus. If you know it, fantastic. I don't know the meaning of the tabernacle. I don't know how. All I know is this. Tell me where Jesus is. That's all. Do you understand? So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying this morning that, look, Jesus is standing right by your side. He's standing right by my side all the time. Irrespective of whatever disappointments we have or we faced or that we're going to face, Jesus isn't disregarding that at all. But for Mary, she went beyond that with gritted teeth. It didn't make sense to her. And as she carried on looking for Jesus, as she carried on setting her affections, her heart on Jesus, Jesus just said, he made everything plain to her. She saw Jesus not only as her provider, not only as the person that heals her, she saw Jesus as her savior. That was the main thing that Jesus came to do. All the other things around, apart from that, Jesus wants to help us with that. Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to help you. But Jesus wants you and I to realize that there is a big picture, that he is our savior. There is a life that he wants us to look forward to here with him and when we pass on to the other side. When Mary understood this and saw that Jesus alive, it just changed her perspective. Then she went and told the other people, Jesus is alive. And they're like, oh, yeah, right. yeah, whatever. Do you understand? Like, yeah. Yes. So I might be here like, oh, Resurrection Sunday. Amen. And I'm not saying you, I'm speaking like in the third person. I'm like, oh man, Jesus is alive. Jesus, you know, let's do and you're like, yeah, Pastor Benson, yeah. Don't worry, that's okay as well. But Jesus wants us to realize that, look, there's a big picture. And the big picture is that Jesus is our savior. Jesus is our God. Irrespective of what's happening, he is right there by our side, even if you don't realize it. So this morning, I just want us to really thank God in our hearts that, look, Jesus is always with us. Jesus is always with me. Jesus is going to give me a clearer big picture of what's happening, of what my life is about. Jesus is going to give me hope. Jesus is going to give me joy, irrespective of where I am. Do you understand? So as we reflect on this Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus is alive and well, I tell you. And all he wants us to do, well, let me not say all. The main thing I believe he wants us to do is not to deny where we are, but to focus on him. Do you understand? And as we focus on him, he will give you and I joy. He will take us through life right by our side. Do you understand? So this morning, I'd just like us to rise and pray. And the prayer we want to pray this morning is this. It's a personal prayer, you see. It's a prayer between you and Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus saw Mary. He didn't say, well, you're my disciple. Yeah, you know, go on, you know. He called her name. He said, Mary. At that point, every question in her mind was dissolved. She was overjoyed. This morning, I just wanted to have like the personal conversation with Jesus this morning. I said, Jesus, thank you for calling my name. So let's just spend some time reflecting and just let's talk to Jesus this morning and tell him what's going on in your life. It's a personal conversation with him. And as we do that, Jesus is right here. He's standing right here by you. He's saying, look, I have a life for you. I want you to focus on that life. He says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, he says, I know the plans that I have for you. He says, plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope and a future. There is hope that Jesus has outlined for you. There is hope that he has put in front of you that might not be apparent at this point. He says he has spoken and his plan for you will never change, irrespective of what is happening. His plans for you will never change. So let's just give God praise this morning and say, Jesus, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you for never leaving our sight. Father, we thank you. Father, thank you for resurrection. Thank you for rising on the third day. Thank you for going to the cross, but not remaining dead. Fulfilling the prophecy, oh God, that you would rise up. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you. Father, we give you praise this morning. My Father, my King, I have spoken your word to your people as you have instructed me to, that you are with us, that your word says, and you have said to us that you will never leave us or forsake us. Father, I'm asking this morning that for every disappointment that we have faced, bring comfort to it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking that you will strengthen us as we carry on with this life. Let us carry on with your joy, with your hope, with your love in our hearts. And most especially, Father, this morning as a church, we say thank you. Thank you for going to the cross for us. Thank you for shedding your blood that we might be reconciled to you and our Father. Father, we give you praise this morning. In Jesus' mighty name.